You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, your action plan for real estate success. Here, we stay ready. Staying ready is being mindful of time and actively doing the things on a daily basis so we stay prepared for the opportunities that come our way. Join your host, Emeka, as he dives into the world of real estate investing, interviewing experts and sharing actionable insights. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe today. We would love to know each and every one of you. So please go to GubanaEquity.com and click Invest With Us today so we can figure out how we can get to your investing goals.
What's going on, gang? Today we have Sean D. Martell, and I'm going to post a link in the show notes, but he has a very rare 20-unit new construction opportunity for you to invest passively in San Diego, California. Sean is very experienced. He has 300 units of value add, and he also has some units under his belt with new construction. So I highly recommend to click the link to the webinar that's going to happen this upcoming Monday, August 5th, 2024. Don't miss it. Now let's listen to Sean. My man, Sean, you want to tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do?
So I'm a multifamily syndicator. I have done a lot of value add multifamily, have over 300 value add multifamily units right now. And I'm now also a multifamily developer. So my current focus is on developing new apartment complexes here in San Diego, California, in some of the most prime locations. I'm also a podcast host for the Real Estate Takeoff Podcast. I've also written an ebook called California Gold that kind of details some of the strategies I use here. But just in general, I eat, sleep, and breathe multifamily. And so I'm ready to unpack whatever you want to unpack, man, and provide some value to your listeners.
No, I love it. You said you went into multifamily value add, about 300 and something units, and now you're into new development, new construction. So when it comes to, you know, passive investors and people who are interested, how does it differ between the two when it comes to the returns?
It differs in a lot of ways. Probably the primary way that it differs is when you get paid, when you make money. In value add multifamily, you know, you get into a property and day one, you could be potentially be cash flowing. Obviously, that's harder to do nowadays with high interest rates, et cetera, but you'll generally see some money start coming into your account a little sooner. Development does usually take longer because obviously you're not producing rental revenue until the property is built. And that will typically take a couple of years. But it also depends because sometimes, like our current project we're doing, we've already gone through all the permitting process. So all that's left to build is to build it. So about 12 months after the investment opens, people will start getting cash flow. So the differences can kind of depend. But as far as a return on investment standpoint, I think the return on investment can be similar or better when it comes to development. Obviously, it depends on a lot of factors. Each asset class has different risk factors, but I have gone from investing in value-add multifamily that was built in the 1960s and 70s to now building it on my own. And I can tell you that new developments have a lot of advantages when it comes to lower repair and maintenance costs. I think if you're looking at the investment on the long-term horizon, I think development makes more sense. But I also think can make more sense or less sense depending on where you're building. You know, like some areas might have too much supply and right now might not be the best time to do development there. And the inverse is true in places like San Diego, where there's hardly any supply. And there's also less risk, in my opinion, here in San Diego in new development. And I can unpack, we can unpack a lot on all those various points that I just made. But in general, I think the returns are similar or can be better
One of the things you were talking about mainly is the risk. So what are the main risks with the new development? Because right now, if there's a building that's built in 2000, it might sound new. Any building built in 2000 is 24 years old now, right? Need new roofs, you know, maintenance is going to start happening. So correct. What are the main risks for the new development?
It depends on when you're, as an investor, you're getting in on the project. But the biggest risks are always going to be permitting timelines, keeping costs down, and hitting your projected rents. Those are the three biggest. Permitting timelines can vary all over the place around the country, depending on what city you're in. I mean, in Texas, you could get permits in 6 months here in San or less. Here in San Diego, that process could take 18, 12 to honestly 1 year to 2 years. It could vary widely depending on where you're building, how backed up the city is on permitting, things like that. So, you know, there's risk there. Then the risk, you know, with construction, by the time it comes time for you to do construction, how much have material costs and labor costs gone up? And did you account for that to go up? And were you correct in your assumptions? Though that's always a risk. And then the third risk is the rents that you're projecting to hit. Obviously, you want to be conservative there, because if your entire project depends on you getting a certain amount in rent and you achieve lower than that, then that's going to have a big effect on your returns. So I think those are the three biggest risks when it comes to new development. You know, compare that to value add. And sometimes, like, let's take a place like Dallas, Texas, for example, or just Texas in general. Texas has had just a boom in new apartment developments. And because of all of that, now Texas has the biggest decline in rents over the past year as opposed to any other markets. And that's largely because they have all this new supply going online. And so a lot of the value add investors that were projecting cap rates to be at a certain level on their exit and for rents to continue increasing year over year, or some of them are struggling in Texas now because of all the new supply. Now they're competing with all these new buildings, and they have old buildings, and cap rates have decompressed a lot within those markets. So it can vary, man. The risk sometimes, you know, if you would ask people 4 years ago if there's a whole lot of risk and value add in Dallas, they'd probably say not much. And the tides have turned a little bit. So it just depends.
I gotcha. And a lot of people like the value add play because the appreciation play. You can force appreciation. Do you see much appreciation with new development as well?
So I would say that it's also forced appreciation. If you buy an existing multifamily and you're going to implement a value add plan, you know, make the kitchens nicer, maybe add some amenities or whatever, you're forcing appreciation. Here, we're buying an old dilapidated building that we're going to tear down. We bought it for $1.5 million. We're tearing that building down and building a new apartment complex that's going to be worth north of $13 million. So in many ways, you're also forcing appreciation. I bought a plot of land that's worth a certain amount of money, and I'm going to turn it into something else that maximizes the value of that land. So I would argue you're still forcing appreciation. And as far as that appreciation is concerned, I would argue that in this market in San Diego, California, it's easier for me to force appreciation with new development. In this case, it's called infill development. So for your listeners, there's a difference in like a traditional development plan where you're buying vacant land and entitling it, permitting it, and building a new apartment complex. And then you can potentially have an existing house that sits on a big lot, or an existing business or government building or something like that that's on the land that we buy, tear down, and repurpose and build an apartment complex. And that's called infill development. Now, here in San Diego, if you were going to do a value-add multifamily business plan, it's a lot different than doing it in Florida. Because here, if a tenant is on, you know, their 1 year lease has ended and they're now on month-to-month rent, and you want to implement your value add plan and say, hey, you have to move out because I want to renovate this and then rent it out to somebody for more rent. It's not as easy as just saying, I'm not going to renew your lease. If they're paying rent on time and the renovations that you are going to implement don't take 30 days or more for you to complete, if these are renovations that are just, visual renovations without changing major components that require permits, these are called just cause evictions. So it basically has to be substantial renovations that make it to where it's unsafe for the person to continue living there. That's the only way you can force them out. So if they're paying rent on time, yeah. So how do you underwrite for that? Mecca. You know, if you're doing your underwriting in Florida, you could say we are projecting to renovate on average one unit a month or two units a month. You can't really make that prediction here with hyper accuracy, because if the person pays on time and wants to stay, the only other way around it is you go and pull permits to do a full gut job, and then you could force them out. So, you know, there's a lot of nuances there. It can still make sense for sure, but in my opinion, it's a lot harder to implement those value add plans. Converse that with new development, and I'm able to tear down a building, build something brand new. I'm not inheriting bad tenants that are going to be hard for me to kick out. Here in California, if I build a new apartment like I'm doing, rent control doesn't apply to us for the first 15 years. So I don't, those laws don't affect us. And I'm putting in, you know, I'm able to increase rents a lot easier year over year with these newer buildings that are in high demand than it is for me, this dilapidated building built in 1950. So I think those are the key differences.
How does a limited partner know who to trust? What are the main things to look for when it comes to a general partners who are trying to do what you do and are asking for money?
I think number one is experience. You know, it's okay if you're a newer investor that is doing a project with a mentor, or you're bringing in experience outside of yourself. In development, I think more than anything, like more so than even value add apartments, because development, in my opinion, is the major leagues of real estate. Real estate development is more complicated. There's a lot more that goes into it, and it needs entirely different skill sets. So all that to say that if you are thinking of going in on a new development project, the experience of the team is the most important thing. So our team, for example, me and my business partner have a couple of new development projects under our belt now, but we are partnering with a group that has been doing this for over 30 years, and they've built more apartments on the coast in San Diego than anybody else. So they are quite literally the most experienced people in the city of San Diego. So we're partnering with them to ensure that we have all the experience, and they're vertically integrated. They are the ones that are not only building the property, but also managing the property along with us. So I think that first and foremost is experience. And the second thing that's a big help is skin in the game. So there are a lot of new investors that don't have very much experience, and they can't really afford to invest in the deal themselves. I think that is just, it doesn't mean it's a bad investment, but I would say that just carries a lot higher risk. In this project that we're doing as an example, we are raising $1,775,000. The general partners have over $1.8 million of their own money in the project. So the general partners quite literally have more money invested in the project than all the limited partners combined. So that's about as much skin in the game as you could possibly have.
And since you're actually working on this project now, you want to tell us a little bit about the business plan?
So the project, the general partners have carried the project since through the permitting phase. And so now it's just ready for the vertical phase. In other words, it's ready to build, and we're going to start building later this year. The business plan was, the building that we purchased was an old, what do you call it? It was an old like VA office, essentially where veterans could go, and there was like a bar there and things like that. But it's run down, and it hasn't been used in years. So we essentially bought this building that's 800 feet from the ocean. It's 800 feet from Sunset Cliffs. Sunset Cliffs is a very high-end area. The median home price is $2.4 million. It's a very expensive zip code, and people want to live there, obviously, very sought after. It's a beautiful coastline where there's like 100-foot cliffs, and it's a state park called Sunset Cliffs State Park. So amazing area to go and watch sunset, obviously. And then it sits on the border of Sunset Cliffs and Ocean Beach. So you got all of these shops and restaurants and things like that. So the business plan centers around redeveloping this lot to a brand new three-story apartment complex. And once it's built, leasing out these units at market rate, and then holding the property for a number of years before we sell the property and maximize our profits. A couple quick facts to put into perspective how sought after these units will be. There's only been six other new apartment complexes built in this submarket in the last 30 years. It's just super rare that there's land available or an opportunity to build new apartment complexes there.
That's crazy.
This is the largest apartment complex built there in the last 50 years.
That's Crazy.
It's super rare that there is a lot big enough to build a new apartment complex. Most of the lots in this area are like small duplexes to fourplexes. There's, you know, some apartment complexes that were built in the 50s and things like that. But there just hasn't been any vacant land to build. So it's a rare project. And then the last thing I'll mention on that, that's kind of the nexus of this investment thesis is, number one, we're going to have these beautiful new units. Number two, all of these units will have in-unit washer and dryer, in-unit air conditioning.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
And heater and be pet friendly. That's also rare. If you were to look on Zillow, if you're listening to this, and look at Ocean Beach, San Diego, look at the number of one-bedroom rentals that are available. I think the last I checked, there were 92 available when I looked a couple days ago. If you then filter for one-bedrooms that are available that have in-unit washer and dryer and air conditioning, there's 10 available. So it's going to be a highly sought-after rental product with not much competition. And that's really the central of our thesis, is providing the best and newest apartment complex in this market.
That's amazing. You'll have a webinar on Monday about it, right?
So if that's the case, this coming Monday, August 5th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So if you would be listening to it on the East Coast, it'd be a little late for you, 8:30 p.m. Even if you're not going to invest and you just want to check it out, it's a great presentation that I put a lot of time and effort into. There's even a video going in the middle of the presentation, and you could see exactly what we're up to. And then even if you can't attend, register anyways, and I'll send you the recording so you can check it out.
No, perfect. And I'll put that link in the show notes, because this will post 12 a.m. on, well, yeah, 12 a.m. So tomorrow. So this would be great.
I almost forgot to mention one more thing about this project, because like part of our central thesis is also that, you know, being here in Ocean Beach, Sunset Cliff, San Diego, you want to live close to the beach because you want to see the ocean. You want to see that sunset dip into the water. And what's awesome about this project is it's three stories, and the second and third floor units will be able to watch that sun go across the horizon into the ocean. It's ocean views, amazing sunset views, and those are going to fly off of the shelves. So I did want to mention that, because I'm sure people might be wondering, well, can you see the ocean from the unit? Yeah, you can.
That's good. You can almost say that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, since you said there hasn't been anything like this in 50 years. So that would be a very accurate statement, which is crazy rare, crazy unique. And I'm excited to see and attend that webinar. Are you hiring a general contractor, or is that all going to be in-house when it comes to like the procurement and buying the materials? How are y'all laying that out?
It's all in-house, vertically integrated. So the general contractor, KD Development, they are our partners on this project. They have been building new apartments on the coast in San Diego for over 30 years. And it's their construction company, their employees building it. They build all of their own projects. So the people that are building this have skin in the game, and it matters to them to build on time and keep costs down, because they make more money if we're able to do so. So I think in development, that's really the best way of doing development, because all parties' visions are aligned, because everybody involved makes more money if this project is on time, on budget. And so, you know, and then in addition to that, we're also keeping management in-house. And anybody that's been in the apartment business for a long time knows that, you know, no one's going to manage your property like you'll manage your property. And so I think we have all the pieces necessary on the experienced apartment.
Now, how did you find this deal?
That's a great question. This deal was sourced by KD Development. They purchased the lot a couple of years ago to get this project started. And I got in touch with KD Development because I joined a business club called the Lincoln Club here in San Diego. And there's a lot of developers and big developers in that group. And that's where I met Mike Turk, who is the owner and founder of KD Development. So this deal was just listed for sale, and they approached Mike Turk for the property because they know that he would likely be willing to redevelop it. And then Mike Turk brought us in shortly after meeting us. He said, hey, if you guys want to come in on this project and do it alongside us, we could bring you in. You guys could take half the deal, bring in your investors as well. And we accepted that proposal.
Then this is a 506. This is C, excuse me, 506C. Mm-hmm. So accredited investors are able to do this and you can advertise. What kind of returns are you expecting or assuming that you'll get for your investors?
So our conservative assumption is that we have three different investment tiers, but essentially the middle tier, we're expecting 4% plus average annual return. And we like to present a range of outcomes because of where we're in the market today and how we underwrite conservatively. So we're expecting anywhere from 14 to 20% plus based off of where we're at in the market when this thing sells, because we base our assumptions on today's market, and then we discount it 4% year over year. So in other words, our base assumption of 14% annualized is if the market is substantially worse than it is today, 12% worse. So I hope that makes sense. But essentially, if the market is even worse than it is today, cap rates decompress even more, we still think we're going to achieve a 14% or greater annualized return. If they get back down, if they remain how they are today, then those returns will be close to 20%.
Where do you think the market's headed? Everyone's been expecting those rate cuts. Do you think it's going to happen? Or do you think the 6 and 5% interest rates are here to stay?
I think that the rates are going to come down. I'm not an economist, but based on what I've studied and see with the data, and in particular, the jobs reports, it makes the most sense to me that they are, like they've alluded to, going to begin cutting rates this year. I don't think that we're going to be back in an environment like we were 2 years ago, though, where interest rates are at rock bottom. I think though we're going to slowly work our way back towards the mean, which is somewhere in the 4% range. I do think it also, like, when it comes to the market and how where we're going to be at a couple of years from now, I think that depends a lot on where you're investing. The reason why I say that is because cap rates compress to ridiculous levels in a lot of these secondary and tertiary markets over the past couple of years. I was seeing people buy properties like in the mid 4 cap range in like secondary markets that not a lot of people want to move to and live in. So I think those markets carry a lot more risk, and you could continue to see cap rates decompress to the 6 to 7% range over the next couple of years. What I have observed in primary markets like San Diego, California, these markets that are super expensive, there's less volatility. So in a market like San Diego, where I'm seeing properties, I'm pulling comps today of properties that have sold in the past 6 months for I've seen on the higher end a 4.28% cap rate, and I've seen stuff trading in the mid to high 3% cap rate range in San Diego, despite the fact interest rates are as high as they are today. So that's a long wind of me saying, I think it depends on where you're investing. If you're investing in secondary or tertiary markets, I'm expecting those cap rates and values to continue kind of declining to more of the mean. And then I think that these primary markets won't change much.
No, I love that. And, you know, these primary markets like San Diego, it's higher barriers to entry. And I've learned that any market that has those high barriers are typically safer in the long run. Like here in Tampa or even in Miami, no matter what the market is, there's going to be about 5 to 10 people still making offers. And that's because mm-hmm. San Diego and Miami, they're not going anywhere. And location. I think that stays true for any kind of real estate investment. And for those who are interested into this infill development, or they're very curious about new construction, what are three actionable items that someone can do today to learn more about it or to get in the game?
I think you got to look at your city's individual market, whatever you're going to market you're interested in investing in. You've got to get familiar with that city's policies, their municipal code, the programs they have that might encourage development, because that is really the starting point. Here in San Diego, California, we have programs, density programs such as Complete Communities and the Bonus ADU program, which essentially allow you to rezone a lot to make it a lot more dense because they need housing so bad. Those programs don't exist in other markets. Even LA and San Francisco do not have something called Complete Communities, and they don't have a bonus ADU program. They might have the base ADU program. So I think you need to really understand your city. What incentives do they have for developers? Start there. The second thing I think you need to do is you need to join business groups, development groups, places where you can rub elbows with other developers and be around them as much as humanly possible to see what they're doing and how they're doing it. I mean, at the end of the day, experienced people are always going to be the best people to listen to. And then I think the third thing that you need to be doing is constantly keeping your tabs on your market. Like, as an example, I have a CoStar membership. A lot of people out there might not be able to afford that because it's really expensive. But every single time, you can even do this with LoopNet, honestly. Every single time a property goes up for sale, I set up notifications to where I get an email about it. And every time a property is sold, I also get an email notification. And it's just a great way to keep tabs on your market. What are properties trading for? New developments? What kind of cap rates are they achieving? What rents are they achieving? You need to be looking all the time. If there's a property, new development that's listed for sale, sign the operating, get the OM, look through the rent roll. All of these things, like as you keep doing that over time, you'll really start to understand what developers are doing, what kind of rents they're achieving. And the list goes on and on and on, what you'll learn from that. So I think those are the three actionable items you could do today to start putting your foot in the right direction.
That sounds good. With that, we're going to the next segment of the show. You've done it before. You know what to do. So question number one, what are the two books you recommend an aspiring investor to read?
I think the first one I'll say off the top of my head is the Joe Fairless book. Man, I'm probably going to butcher the name, but it's essentially the book on the best ever syndication book.
Yeah, there it is.
The best ever syndication book is great for like newbies getting in the apartment business, because not only is it big, it's thick, it goes over a lot of the different steps involved in apartments, but even better, at the end of the book, there's a glossary with all these different common terms that you're going to need to know that are in this business. And you can just straight up make flashcards and really start to learn all of these terms. So I think that's a great book to start with. The second book, and I want to try to give one that's outside of real estate investing. So there's a couple books. I would say Traction. The book is called Traction. What's that author's name? I think it might be Gene something. But the book Traction is a general business book, but I've found it to be critical in my business journey as an entrepreneur, even in the real estate business, because it really will teach you how to structure your business, track everything, and it will ultimately make you a better real estate investor.
Perfect. What has been the most impactful speech or lesson that has helped you in your career?
Man, there's a lot of things I could probably go down with this, but I would say the biggest lesson I learned was with my first project. It was a 32 unit out-of-state investment. I liquidated my 401k with some partners to buy it. And we ran out of money on that deal and made a lot of mistakes. Ultimately, it's been my best investment ever, though. I tripled my money in 2 years, so we ended up working out. But what I did learn is to do a ridiculous amount of due diligence. I don't know how much I'm assuming that I do probably more than most other people out there, including scoping every single sewer line. I want to know what I'm dealing with because I've been burned there. I want to know the remaining useful life on every single HVAC because I've been burned on that. I think your experiences and failures when you do get burned are your best lessons, that you'll never make that mistake again. And that first property taught me a bunch of those lessons, and I was fortunate and blessed enough to still make out well on that, but it definitely taught me to do a thorough due diligence. I try to find out and verify everything I can.
Great. And if you can have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I'm going to pick somebody that's alive, and I would pick Neil Bawa, because I look up to Neil Bawa probably more than any other apartment operator out there, mostly because of how articulate he is and how much of a data geek he is. there's a quote in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth. And he always says during his speeches that he thinks the geek shall inherit the earth. And I think he's right, because what he's getting at is data, numbers, all of that stuff makes investing so much more comfortable and so much easier to do. And he, I think, is the best at it. So that's who I would pick.
No, beautiful. You want to tell the world how everyone can get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You could find me Sean_DMartell on Instagram. You could search me Sean D. Martell on LinkedIn. I'm sure you could put that in the show notes. If you want to check out our webinar, I'll give you the link, Emeka, so that you could put that in the show notes. And that's really it.
No, cool. Thank you so much for joining. And until next time.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.